Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yo, it's 2021, y'all. M&P, we got a new show.
If you ain't got no money, take your broke dick home, poodle.
If you ain't got no money, wait. Pass.
D-L-I-N-G, M-P-I-O-M-G, Netflix, we coming for you. Manny, Poodle,
and special guests too.
It's Bling Empire on Reality Gaze.
I'm drinking Tito's the rest of my days.
Eating Doritos.
This show's the closest we'll get to the glamorous.
Out of that, that, that,
that. Oh, the glamorous. Oh, the glamorous, glamorous. Oh, the glamorous. Oh, the glamorous. Oh, the glamorous.
Manny, who are these people?
Poodle. Boy, I'm so glad you asked. Oh, there's Dr. Gabe and his wife, Christine.
Jamie is the fashion queen. Kevin's got that banging bod. And Kimberly is a DJ god.
Kane's got Benji's by the tons. Anna's dad sells bombs and guns. Ain't none of these kids gotta worry about bills. And they're all in
Beverly Hills.
Oh, the glamorous. Yo, the flowers.
Y'all, we are here with Fumi and Mike from Asian Not Asian.
We're having a guest. We're having a guest, and they're two cute guys, and they're straight.
Yeah.
That's rare for us, y'all.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
What do I say to this cute straight guy?
I haven't been around straight men in so long.
What does that mean? I feel like most dudes are straight. Are you not? Are you?
It's just my circle, honey. It's just my. It's either women or gay guys.
And well, honestly, coronavirus.
Maybe the handyman in my building. That might be the closest thing. But I don't know his life. Who knows? Tell us about your podcast. Tell us about Asian.
Yeah, thank y'all for. We're going to talk about Blind Empire, but tell us about Asian, Not Asian.
Yeah, for sure. So our little log line is it's two Asian guys, not from Asia, talking about American issues no American cares about. And we kind of started the podcast because, you know, to your point, you know, hey, in 2020, 2021, a lot of people don't care what straight guys have to say, you know, but I think people care less about what straight Asian guys have to say in general. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where they came from.
Even now, if for the listeners out there, the feeling you're getting right now is who cares? That's the feeling you're getting, and that's because we're two straight Asian guys. And I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But I think maybe in this particular case, you might want to listen just for a second. We're probably wrong, but you can listen to us for a second because it was an interesting show. But yeah, we talk about that. We're both comedians. Based out of New York, and you know, we're writers and all that stuff, and you know, we talk about like a lot of stuff that I think, if anything, you know, the very fact that they have this reality show shows that people are becoming more aware of Asian people as I don't even know what you want to call it, like not just what you imagine from the 70s and 80s. And yeah, I think people are like, you know, inside the community, we call it the Asian wave. Now that I say that, I actually don't think that's a good word because there's too many waves right now. But I think that's something, you know, Crazy Rich Asians kind of kicked it off, and Yeah. You know, and now here we are. So we've been kind of riding that wave, and we have this podcast where we talk about shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how long have y'all, because what I really enjoy about, like, because every time we do a collab, I want to listen to somebody's show. I subscribe to your show, bitches, because I love your friendship. I feel like it almost reminded me very much. You kind of have what people say about Jake and I, like, how long have you guys known each other? Because y'all just seem like the rapport is. So how long have y'all known each other?
It feels like such a long time. I guess we met in 2014. We both started. And this is in 2014. Hey, these are crazy times. This is before Crazy Rich Asians. Okay, Asian people were not allowed to do entertainment.
Yeah.
So there's only one spot on every show for one Asian comedian.
One Asian only
per show.
Unless it was only spoken of in like dark rooms.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we met each other in the scene just doing shows. But in the beginning, we didn't really talk to each other because we wanted to murder each other because there's only one spot. Yeah. And then
you have to kill one another. Yeah,
exactly. That's how you get a spot, you know. But then after a while, and by while I mean like 1 year. After 1 year, I was like, hey, you know, this guy's kind of funny. So we started like writing together. So I guess since 2014. So we've known each other, been working together for about 6 years or so. But the podcast started about 3 years ago.
Cool. Yeah. That's the way two gay guys who are both bottoms feel in a club. Like, we will...
I will murder you.
We will destroy one another.
Murder each other with their bottoms?
Total Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Because there's a magic dick out there, and one of us is going
to
suck.
And one of us has to find the magic dick.
We're going to try.
Yeah.
There needs to be some Wikipedia article I can read about this, because this is amazing.
Bottom culture?
Yeah, bottom culture. Yeah, is there like a Lord of the Rings-esque kind of source book I can read?
Totally. One cock ring to rule them all.
man.
I think I do want to say, I looked on you guys' Patreon, and you do call it, you call people like anals and curious anals
for their
listeners. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Asian, not Asian listeners. And that's something a fan came up with that, although we really ran with it, you know, and it's a nice recurring theme. So we do talk, we whenever we say anals, 50-50 chance we're talking about our friends, or 50-50 chance we're not talking about our fans. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm.
I love it.
A recurring theme.
Yeah, it is weird because we started using that word like maybe, I don't know, episode 60 and onwards. So sometimes people are new to the podcast, and if they tell me that they're a fan, I'd be like, oh, are you an anal? And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck?
I'm like, get away from me.
What the fuck is that?
Well, where did you get the idea? I think it's so, I guess, I don't know. Is it a thing just for you guys, or is it a thing in like Asian culture that you take your listeners' last names and guess their ethnicity?
Oh.
As a white American. As a white American, that is something
that
I've never
my mind
ever. And when you did it, my mind just went, "Oh fuck!" I never. It's totally like, where did that idea come from?
I think. Well, here's the thing. I think there's two things. I think one, you know, I think as an Asian person in this country, you're always asked like, "Where are you from?" So that's kind of on that. But also, I don't know if Mike does this, but I always, you know, if I meet somebody and they say, "Hey, my name is Sean Vo," I always immediately. In my head, I go, oh, Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Like, you, I think other Asian people always try to guess what sort of nationality you are, what nationality your parents are. So it's just a thing that we do automatically that we kind of turn into a game. But a lot of our fans are mixed race, and then it gets very tricky. But we have gotten very good at deciphering what your composition is based on your first name as well.
Ideally, if we could really do this, they would send us a picture and we would guess looking at them. And that would be better.
Not problematic at all.
Not problematic at all. Please send us your DNA and we will examine. So I think, to Fumi's point, you know, Asian people were very, because we're so concerned with representation, even in our own lives, we want to know what kind of Asian are other Asian people. So like I live in New York City. There's not a lot of Vietnamese people in New York City compared to, say, California, where I'm from. So whenever I find out there's a Vietnamese person, whenever there's a Vietnamese straight dude, I'm like, oh my God, I got to get this dude's number, man. I got to become friends with this guy. There's so few people. And I don't know if Fumi feels the same way. I feel Fumi, you know, if there is a Japanese person, you kind of treat them a different way. You have to kind of know. Okay, is this guy someone I'm going to need to like relate to on a certain level? Will he relate to certain things I say?
Yeah, I think it's like, I think, yeah, Mike and I relate on that in that way that like there aren't a lot of Japanese people in New York as well. I mean, there's, you know, it's predominantly Chinese and Korean. So whenever we do meet like somebody with a last name that we can identify as Japanese or Vietnamese, we get a little excited, you know. It's kind of like, you know, something, you don't mention, you're talking about the bottom culture earlier. Sometimes it's not, and if you were living in a state where there weren't any bottoms and you saw another bottom, it might be nice to be like, hey, get to see another bottom. let's talk about being,
hey, you know, bottom. Hey, I haven't met any bottoms around here. What do you, you know? You know any good bottom restaurants? Yeah.
bottom restaurant. You know what?
There would be a lot of fiber.
There would be no food served at all. Because you don't eat before you do something like that. You would just move stuff around on your plate and act like you were having a good time. I will say, and being, we're both from the South. And it is a similar thing, especially out here. If I meet someone, I'm from South Carolina, he's from Oklahoma. And if we meet someone who is from our area, we're like, where are you from? Yeah. It immediately is like, I need to be best friends with you. It's our tribalism, you know?
Well, mainly too, if I meet someone from the South that lives in California, I'm like, oh, they're not a racist, homophobic Southerner because they moved out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like they hate California out there. So if they live out here, they're like, oh, it's somebody I can get along with. So anyway, the way we find our people, it's just such a fascinating.
Yeah, you guys should do that on your show. You should guess if your fans are tops or bottoms.
Oh shit! Oh. you know that is a great idea. We just put a picture of them, and just that is not a bad idea. Strangely enough,
mixed people.
Mixed. Well, you can be versatile.
Okay.
You can be versatile, but we actually have, I mean, we do have gay male fans, but I would say the majority of our fans are women. Because who knows? But maybe it's the show. We do 90 Day Fiancé. So it's very, very women centric show. And we've spent our whole lives being friends with women.
But it's also cool that doing 90 Day Fiancé, we
have straight guys too.
Like I think like we still do it, but we do Southern Charm on Bravo. Like that's a littler show, but like a lot of our listeners are a lot of white women, we've noticed. Whereas 90 Day Fiancé is such a big show, and there's people that have been 90 Day Fiancés or dope. So it's like such an, we call our listeners sissies. We have sissies kind of all over the world that have gotten into this show either because they're like, oh, my cousin was a 90 Day Fiancé and did that. And it's from like the Philippines. And my other cousin's like from, you know, it's from like Tunisia. It's just crazy.
We're shocked at how diverse it is. And like we just did a thing over Christmas break where we just on our Facebook group, the Sissy Squad, we just had people say, where are you listening from or where are you from? And we had all 50 states in the Facebook group. And then we had like about, I want to say 20 countries. It was shocking, and it number one, it's the power of the show, and you know we have a really good time, and we hope that translates. But our listeners are the best listeners in the world.
Well, and also Jake was like, these are people I can stay with, so I can go fuck guys around.
Yeah,
when
COVID's over, and I just make my like tour of the world, and I just go fucking everything I can.
Anyway,
We brought you here to talk about the hot, glittery garbage that is Bling Empire on Netflix.
Thank you.
In one word, can you give us your impressions?
One word. You want to go first with me? You want to go first?
I feel like it was so... It's just very chaotic, you know?
Yeah.
It's... like there's absolutely no order, and I know that you had us on because initially your pitch was like, "Hey, I want to talk about representation within the Asian community for in reality shows." Yeah. And it's so chaotic that like 20 minutes in, like you forget that they're Asian because like because nothing they're doing. Like I don't know anybody who speaks like that. I don't know anybody who has that kind of money. Like it's not whatever this kind of Asian is. I don't know what it is. So. It's just, it's so
chaotic. Thank you for saying that. You're not alone in saying that, but yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I would say, I'm going to say the word, and then it might sound like I'm contradicting Fumi, but it's not. I would say dragony, because I would say that dragons in Asian culture, and we'll talk about what I mean, I have air quotes going, went around the word Asian, is both authentic and wildly inauthentic.
Mm.
Because, that's great.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's important, but it's not like I'm wearing only dragon stuff all the time. And I feel that this, there's a lot of going on in the show, and I can't tell. I have to confess, I'm not a reality TV person, so I have a hard time figuring out how much is produced and how much isn't produced. But it's a clear choice, I feel, in the show that they will push certain things as being, oh, don't worry, this is an Asian thing. And I'm like, that is not an Asian thing. What the fuck are you talking about? Okay, my parents do not have private airplanes. We don't have that in Hanoi, okay? Like, that is like not a thing. So they're like, oh, yeah, it's totally Asian. And she, you know, it's like, you know, whatever, going to Cartier and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's strange how much they kind of talk about that narrative as a thing. And it's funny and it's chaotic.
Yeah, I could tell. I mean, I know the producers are not Asian because I looked it up. But also to Mike's point, like they do in the beginning, the first thing I noticed, I don't know if Mike noticed this too, but like, because I think they're trying to be careful with the word Asian because it's such a big word and it's a big continent. They have almost somebody like a representative from each country, you know? Like,
like she's, a Benetton, I mean, here's the character,
but it's wild. Yeah. Here's a lady, she's like, oh, this is Anna, and she's half Japanese, half Russian. But honestly, she looks Peruvian. Like, there's nothing Asian about this lady.
She looks like a lion, dude. Okay, she's a lion American.
Like, she's a lion Peruvian
American.
She's a
lion Peruvian dragon American.
And she was like speaking Spanish, and I'm like, the producers are like really stretching this, you know?
Very true. I mean, you know, this is like, you know, they will throw that out there sometimes, and I was reading some articles, and they'll say, oh, it's like they'll throw some Asian traditionalism in there. And again, I don't know what is Asian traditional about, like, owning a Bentley or whatever the fuck it is. But, like, a lot of them are, yeah, not, you know, not Asian. I don't mean that, like, they're white or something, but I do mean that, like, they're not Asians. I don't exactly know if a lot of them are Asians from Asia or if they, you know, because, like, if you wanted to, I feel they were trying to grab this whole, like, crazy rich Asians thing, of which there are such a thing as Chinese billionaires and Malaysian and Singaporean billionaires. And they're in another country. They're not in West Hollywood necessarily. They're not in Beverly Hills necessarily. And a lot of the characters, I mean, like Kevin is adopted. He's like, he's Korean. He's from Philly. The dude's from Philly. That's like almost like not Asian as possible. You know, like,
I mean, do you feel like he says, and I know you're in New York and not Philly, but I've been to Philly.
It's a very, very diverse city.
I'm like, where from Philly are you that you're not seeing any Asian
suburb?
Yeah, he must be from the suburbs because we have another friend who's adopted Korean. He's from Philly, but yeah, okay. I mean, I think yeah, Mike is right. I think he might be the only Asian American person
normal,
Asian person who grew up in America on the show. But yeah, I definitely relate with that guy because he's like the only. You know, he's like your average. I mean, he's not. They try to make him out to be like the average guy, even though he's a fucking model. But like,
he's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, he's hot, but he's like your regular straight Asian guy, just like can't dress himself. You know,
it's really
doing ab workouts. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You guys said these are no Asian people that I've seen, because we had a guest, Melanie Maras. Basically said the same thing to us. She's like, this is not a show about Asians. This is just a show about wealth.
Yeah.
They just happen to be Asian. And I think that's exactly what you guys are saying. It's like they might as well have just like hit a gong with every scene change. And <they're, laughs> and I'm stealing Dragony, by the way.
I mean, you could say that.
I can say it. You're right.
No, you
but
can
that is another reason. Like our own friends, when we watch this show, our own friends, like Jake and I watch the show, we're like, I don't feel like we don't know any Asian people that would relate to this. But we were, that's why we wanted to include other podcasts, because like we're two white gay guys. So that it just, yeah, amazing. I think it is about wealth.
Yeah. I mean, it would be amazing though if Fumi and I got on this podcast. We're like, oh my God, this is just like our lives, right? Oh.
Yeah. I'm in a helicopter over Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. I'm always going to Paris. You know, my dad's always selling weapons to the Iranians, you know, like, I think like, you know, I mean, when Crazy Rich Asians came out, I think there was a lot of discourse, and for a long time, there was a lot of discourse with like Asian Americans, whatever you want to call us, the larger sort of Asian American community, that, you know, is this really representative of us. And I think for the consensus eventually came out was like, hey, you know what? It's a fun movie. It's okay if it's not like, because like most of the movie doesn't even take place in America. And that's okay because it was just fun. And we just like to see people who look like us. We're that desperate for representation. It was like, does that guy have black hair? Fantastic. Let's keep going. And that's okay. But now there's kind of like a weird narrative, and this like connects with, you know, a larger model minority thing about like Asian people who come to America or largely in the world. A lot of them are doing very well. And you saw something like this in Japan in the 80s about like, you know, Japanese people, they own everything. And now it's kind of like, you know, China is ascendant. And so there's a narrative that like, oh, all these people are wealthy and all these things. And most of us, hey, man, we're all trash, man. You know, we're all just like trying to make a buck.
You know, you're that's trash, all just do. Like us.
You're trash, just like you. Anyway, I just want your listeners to know that, okay? Fumi, join me in saying,
yes, we
Asian
are trash.
Great guys are trash.
Well, here's the thing. Like, it's okay. So I'm gonna have to take back a little bit of what I said because, sure, it's not like I don't necessarily. You're right. I think you're right. This is a show about wealth, not necessarily about Asian people. But there were two things that happened in episode 6, which I think is what we're talking about, right? That we're very like we're kind of. Realistic
good,
that
good segue for me. We have GDD, nice. So thank you.
GDD, nice. That's great. I want that. That sounds tight. I was thinking about okay. There's two things. One, the way Kevin talks to the ladies. I've like seen Asian bros talk like that in life, like fraternity
very
bros.
Bro-y.
Very cringy, but I know it's real. So there's one. And then when he got turned down, I was like, that's relatable. I've gotten turned down. That's relatable. And then he got turned down, and then he felt weird, and he just like went skinny dipping. And yeah, I feel like in a weird way that was a very straight Asian guy move because like he didn't even know he didn't know where to go, he didn't know what to do, and he had to make some sort of noise, and he just showed his dick to everybody.
I rewound that part a lot. I rewound that.
He did have a great part. I will give you that.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC.
Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Didn't y'all, I haven't listened to it yet, but I was looking on your episodes. Didn't you have an episode about somebody saying they don't want to like they don't fuck Asian guys or some shit. Like, oh, yeah. Didn't you?
That was the most, well, like,
well,
like,
it wasn't like, she didn't say Asian specifically. Well, maybe she did, but, well, I mean, but you know, there's been a lot of people who say that to Asian people in the past. I was just surprised to hear it again in 2020.
Well,
I mean,
yes, yeah. That episode's called I'm Not Racist, But My Vagina Is.
Yes.
There's a thing in the gay hookup community for gay hookup apps for Grindr and things that says, it'll say no fats, no femmes, no Asians.
Right.
And that will be, and that's mostly a white gay thing. And you will see that still. And this is 2020.
Wow. I'm two of those.
He's Asian. Yeah,
I think that Fumi, okay. Right? Like, I mean, I personally think that Kevin's character is very interesting. I mean, maybe because he's a straight Asian dude, but like, you know, he's adopted. He is emblematic of a lot of Asian American men where we're kind of, a lot of us overcompensate for the Asian guys are all feminine and stuff like that. So we're like always working out. And, you know, I've met Kevin before and he's like very into his body, which, hey, good job. It shows. But it's something that I saw growing up a lot, you know, when I was in college and in high school, like, you know, Asian dudes like working out and that's like a direct reaction to the way that we're usually portrayed. And so I think that Kevin is very like specific, you know, he's very specific to the Asian American experience and the fact that he's trying to find out who he is and all that stuff along with
audience.
Him. Yeah.
He's the audience's way in. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and I think, you know, he's very body centric and I get it. I'm doing push-ups all the time because of that, you know. So,
yeah. And I guess the second thing that I thought was relatable was all that ghost talk, babies. All that reincarnation shit. I was like, this I can get down with because I've had conversations like that with my grandmother, you know.
You know what? It's funny. I mean, when I can't remember, is it she thought that her baby was the grandma or you know? Yeah. My friend also from LA, also doing pretty well, is also very much into kind of like this esoteric thing. I don't want to say he's not necessarily Buddhist, but he's very spiritual. And he's you know, he's like a lawyer. He's like an intellectual person, but he's like very into that. And even if you're, even my family, we're Catholic. We're not supposed to do those things. Catholic Church is like, don't do that. But we're still lighting that incense, baby. We're like, you know, putting shit out. You know, we're just like, just a little bit of a little side ghost, you know, along with Jesus.
Side ghost.
A little bit of side spirits.
Maybe it's an apostle. Maybe it's a saint.
Yeah. I can feel grandma's spirit tonight, y'all.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a real thing that I feel like a lot of older Asian people will, you know, think about. Like, I remember going to my aunt's funeral and, like, everybody in my family is like, oh, the spirit is in the dog tonight. And it was like a golden retriever. And everybody was like going crazy over this dog. Her name was Jojo because she was from America. And, you know, I was in the middle school and I was like, I guess like this is a thing, you know, like I knew that none of my friends were having conversations like this at their funerals, you know, but here we are fucking worshiping this fucking dog like it's Simba, like because apparently my aunt's inside the fucking dog now. I think a lot of people watched that part and probably thought, oh, this is like some crazy made up shit. But like that, to me, that was the realest part of the episode.
Is your family superstitious? Because they've talked about on the episode in a previous episode about, they mainly were talking about Chinese culture. But again, kind of something they do on the show that Eric's, they promote it as like Asian, like this is applicable to all. And I'm like, but they do talk about Chinese people being very superstitious.
Yeah.
Are either of your family superstitious or just the ghost thing?
Well, I mean, I feel, oh, sorry, go ahead, Vumi.
No, it's okay.
I feel that, you know, there's, you know, that's why I say dragon-y, because it's like, it's very Chinese and a lot of, so much red. There's like, you know, like gold everywhere. Red. Everything's so red. You know, there is, you know, superstition. You know, there's a lot of stuff, you know, again, going back to my family, a lot of Vietnamese people are Buddhist. But, you know, there's a bunch of us that are Catholic and we kind of like we pick and choose a couple of the different things. Like we don't really call it ancestor worship, but we have.
That's Chinese. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a day of remembrance, which we kind of like, you know, it's a ceremony that we're not worshiping our ancestors, but it's like a heightened remembrance of this person with, you know, some religious overtones to it. So I definitely think we're, you know, And like believing in ghosts is like totally true. We have a very good friend, who's a stand-up comedian. He's got a great bit about like Asian people were so into ghosts. That's our like way of explaining everything. And I think it's totally true. So it's like, if you can't explain something, ghosts. I got it. Cool.
Well, she even said, it's going to be weird if I'm like still breastfeeding you and it's my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, but for sure. I mean, I think my family, like we're Japanese, but we're very, very superstitious. I think a lot of East Asian countries are, but yeah, to a point where, like just ghosts are just like part of your life. Like when you meet somebody new, you say, "Hey, what's your name? Like, what's your sign?" Then we ask what your blood type is. And then you ask if you have the sixth sense. That's like a pretty normal conversation
really?
To have in Japan. Yeah, it's like we call it leikang, which means like ability to feel ghosts or spirits. But like, and it's like a binary thing. You know, people are like, you know, sometimes if somebody's feeling sick or has a headache or whatever, it might happen that this person might the ghosts are being loud or something.
It's like Japanese people are like a bunch of like Brooklyn white girls or something, you know?
Dude, we're super into it, man. I, you know what? That's interesting.
Hey, where you from? You have the third eye?
Williamsburg is in the house. I got to stop you there a little bit. Back up. Blood type? You ask blood type? I like that you just skipped over that. Like, blah, 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 blood type, blah, blah, blah.
That have to do with anything. That's a huge, huge thing in Japan, at least. I think also in Korean culture, but like it's like our zodiac sign, you know. Like we like label people using blood types and their personality traits.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm gonna check that out. Maybe. Was there like what did you guys think about the hypnosis scene and how he was like, don't know if I really believe in this, but I'm gonna try it. Even though I had a complete fucking shaman on last episode who was doing things from like the OA.
You ought to see that guy, but that guy was like going, and I'm witchy in LA and so is Poodle and we believe in this shit. But even like at one point the shaman on the beach says, let me download your files to my mother box. Anyway, that seems what y'all think about the hypnosis thing?
I completely forgot how much spiritual themes were in this episode because that was crazy. But do you remember who was that like white spiritual guy who came over?
Oh, the medium.
The medium guy?
Tyler Henry.
Okay,
yes.
That guy, first of all, he dresses like a harmless IT guy, but if you look at his notebook, it's like some psychopath. If he dropped that notebook on a subway, like the FBI would find him and like arrest him. He's like, I'm just gonna be drawing. It's not a big deal. And they pan to his fucking notebook, and it's just like it's like some Jeffrey, not Epstein, the Dahmer.
Dahmer. He has a really popular show. He is the Hollywood medium. He is famous in that way.
He works at Doobies. He just like seems like such a basic dude, you know?
Yeah, he looks great. Normal.
He's just like some guy I fucking met at Mickey's like right before closing.
Mickey's in the gay bar.
Some twink who just ridden up from Orange County with a backpack because he's gonna stay with some rich guy tonight. full on still the hair is still the same.
That is how you know if you're in the gay area of town or you're by a gay bar who doesn't live there. They'll have that like little string backpack on their back, you know.
They're
traveling light because they're staying the night.
Now I won't be able to unsee that. For sure. The medium thing, the hypnosis thing. I don't know if how much Asian people are into hypnosis. I think he is like, the whole thing about the adoption, that's just like such a bummer. Our friend that we know has like this heartbreaking story about being adopted. And, you know, this is the same thing. It's like untraceable. You can't go back and find this thing. Sometimes these kids are found in like a park. We had a friend, he was on the show and they found him in the park. And the only note they had in his thing, the only note they had was he could only say one word, which was mom. Mm. And that was the only word he knew. And it's like such a heartbreaking, crazy thing. That, you know, he's going through this hypnosis thing and he's like crying. And I don't think Kevin's that good of an actor. So I feel like he was really doing it. And like, I was like, I was like, oh my God. So, you know, that I don't ever blame anyone for trying to like make that connection, because, you know, it's like you only know as much as you can remember, and that's it. Yeah. Which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, at that point, shit, get the Hollywood Medium guy in there. You know, like, why not?
Yeah.
Hand him a pillow or whatever, and then he'll be like, ah, and like drawing some crazy like a upside down fucking zodiac sign, and get some knowledge.
Yeah. And then he'll find out his mom's name is JoJo, and then holy fuck.
I had never thought about how crazy it was that Tyler Henry just scribbled on a paper, because he's so non-threatening, but you're exactly right. With that creepy smile.
Freaky as shit.
It's really, really creepy. Yeah. And the Asian client like didn't even bat an eye. She's like, yeah, he's just doing his thing. But yeah, you're right. There's like a fucking pentagon and like fucking devil.
I thought maybe he was like going to draw like what she was saying or something like a caricature. Oh, okay. I'm going to draw you in a hot air balloon. No. I'm going to draw the son of Satan here. And and I'm going to draw a river of blood. I hope that's cool.
And then you have head on a spike.
Okay, you're okay. Well, that'll be $800.
Here you go. This page is now a portal. Be careful.
I want to ask you. You probably saw it if you watched the pilot. Kelly and Andrew. Kelly, Andrew, the obviously sociopathic
Power Ranger
boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Power Ranger who screamed at her over the phone. Now, what you guys didn't see is they broke up once, and now they're kind of back together, and he's still being creepy as fuck with her, as you saw. when he said to the dog, said, she's so obsessed with her ball, and he went, I'm your ball.
I remember that.
It's creepy.
Yeah. I think that's just a classic case of like I call it hot guy-nitis, and he's just really hot, and he doesn't have any smooth lines, and he can kind of just get away with anything because he's like super, super handsome. Like like if I said that to a girl, I would get me too'd. You know what I mean? And like, I'd get canceled for saying I'm the ball. So like, yeah, I think it's, but yeah, I remember, now I'm recalling she like lied to him about hooking up with him, I believe.
Yeah, she lied to all her friends, which is classic abusive relationship behavior. It's bad.
If you watch the whole thing, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's well, and you guys watched the episode when she went to, when Anna flew her to Paris for, or maybe that was episode two. Yeah.
I think that was episode two.
Yeah, well, anyway, Anna flew Kelly to Paris, and he like screamed at her for leaving him alone. And he's a dangerous guy.
Mm. It all blends together like a week-long Klonopin binge. You're just like, what the hell happened?
It was a very, I don't know how old he is. I was going to do some research, but then I stopped. And he's
too hard to Google.
I was like, hold on.
I realized I couldn't.
Yeah, he's not the Power Ranger I remember. So I was like, fuck this. You know, like, I don't deal with third tier celebrities. So he just has like a very teenager. Everything is the biggest. How dare you leave me, mom? You know, like dude. You know, you were sleeping. And probably playing, you know, Animal Crossing and shit. And we just like decided to let you sleep. And then he just like takes it to like the 10th degree. So
yeah.
Is he Asian? He's not Asian, right?
No, he's Latin and Native American.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. But they don't talk about his Native American side very much.
At all. No. He's more interested in kind of giving blue steel most of the time and looking sick on some of the other episodes. Yeah. And to the point where he's like, is he on something? Yeah. I don't recommend watching the rest of the series because why would we do that to you? But he's super problematic. It's to the point where how is the production just gonna do this and not say anything?
Right.
It's super irresponsible. and just like you said, the producers are except for Kelly. Kelly,
gay men.
Yeah. There's like two gay guys, and Kelly is one of the producers. Kelly in the cast.
She has produced stuff. We found out that stuff that's been made, which, as we know, is harder than it sounds. You're like, wow, good job.
I was just going to say, just wrapping up, guys, anything else you were just like thinking about? Because we could talk all day, but anything else about what this show says or what it doesn't say or what we have to look forward to, or this is a stain.
I don't think it's a stain. I mean, I think the regular person watching this is not going to like, here's what I'll say. I know that there are very limited Asian, you know, entertainment out there, but if you watch Crazy Rich Asians and if you watch this, you might have the suspicion that perhaps all Asian guys have abs, and I'd like to just make that clear. That is not true. So, hey, you know, don't put that pressure on your Asian boyfriends, okay? They're not going to have abs, and it's fine.
Yeah. Also, most of us don't have private airlines, and we don't have, you know, a lot of gold, I guess. The one thing I kept seeing was, like, everybody would just wear the shirt that had the brand name on it, which I think
is
just...
What is that? What is that?
The whole time, I was like, I didn't know Fendi made a shirt that said Fendi. I didn't know that Dior made a shirt that said Dior on it. I was like, I didn't know that was even possible. I thought these were classy brands. You know, like, this looks like something Costco would have made, you know, as a collab with Fendi. So, again, we're just basic-ass dudes who are into basic-ass things, like, you know, going to, I don't know. Well, one other thing that's interesting to me, and I almost didn't realize this because I was being force-fed all the gold and the red, was that they're in L.A. Mm.
Yeah.
They're in L.A. They don't go to boba once. They don't go to K-Town. They don't go to Roland Heights.
They don't go to Monterey Park.
You want to talk about, you don't go to Little Saigon. You want to talk about Asian people? Like, you just go drive down the 405 for about 20 minutes and then you will see Asian people. And they are rich too. You know, so, you know, and even the poor ones got Mercedes. That's how we roll. So, you know, that's the funny thing is that, like, you know, it is dragon-y. You know, it is like not a, you know,
perfect word for it.
Yeah.
It is. Again, not, I don't think Jake and I can say it.
I hit a gong. And yeah. I say it.
I don't know if you guys are watched like the OC or Laguna Beach or any of those things.
Oh, are you kidding? Yes.
You know? Yeah. Like it is, it's not even Orange County. It's not even Southern Orange County. It's one square block of Orange County and these five people.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the thing with this show. So like, you know, I've totally forgot. I was like, someone get these guys a rice ball, you know, something, you know, like it's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think we haven't seen them eat rice once. That's
rice. Where's the rice? Where's the fancy Dojirushi's? That's a deep cut. You guys won't know what that is, but like, where's the fancy Dojirushi's rice?
The rice cooker, man.
They did have boba in one episode.
Oh, do they?
And
okay.
The rich guy, Kane, forgot his wallet. So Kevin had to pay for him. But when they ordered at the boba restaurant, they ordered all of this shit and they couldn't even eat it. And then they took it with them. But you're right. It was there's no Koreatown. There's only like Rodeo Drive. If they eat anywhere, it's really nice Asian restaurants in Beverly Hills.
Right. Asian person would go to. Come on. You know.
Yeah. But you're exactly right. There's
That's it.
Yeah. Everyone knows that the only place to have Chinese food is like Alhambra Madri Park. That's where you have to go.
Amen.
Yeah.
And baby.
Yeah. Anyway, y'all tell us where this has been unbelievable.
I love you. I'm such a fan of y'all. I just want you to have your own fucking television. I just think you're both so funny together. You have the best laughs.
I want to see Dragony on a shirt.
We'll have that dragony anals, you know.
Yeah,
we'll
dragony anals.
Put that on your merch store.
Tell us where you can find your podcast. Tell us where you can find your socials. Tell us what you guys got coming up.
Yeah,
just go to any podcast app or YouTube. Just type in Asian, not Asian. We're on there. We're the first thing that comes up. Even if you just want to type in Asian on the podcast app, we're the first podcast that comes up.
Yeah,
we're the first one. So check us out there. We also got an Instagram. It's @AsianNotAsianPod. We put clips on there from every episode. And I'm also on Instagram, all the platforms, @TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram @NicePantsBro.
Did not expect that. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Y'all check out this podcast. These guys are hysterical. It's funny, relatable.
They're in the show notes. They're in the link. So click on the show notes and we'll tag them on our Instagram. And yes. We'll, I'm sure that hopefully this won't be the last. And we can collaborate. I don't know. I don't, who knows?
We have Bling Empire season 2.
Oh God! Oh, you guys should do House of Ho. Did you guys watch House of Ho?
Oh, we're that maybe
I have it, but Jake has.
That maybe it's fantastic.
It's very different. I like that one a lot better.
It's a much better show.
And you want to get into some real Vietnamese shit up in here, man? Oh my God! They're showing you all the shit. I didn't know
And that show goes deep. It's hard for really us deep. when shows are quote unquote good. It's hard for us to talk about them more.
Oh, right. So hold on. One thing before you go, okay? And I don't watch reality TV shows, but like, is this one of those? Is it like the world is upside down in reality shows where you're saying it's trash, it's good, and it's good, it's bad? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we talk about when things are trash, we can make fun of it.
Okay.
It's easier. When shows are good, like House of Ho is fantastic because it's more set, more docu. Like you understand the subjects, you get interested in it. It's less just bad. Like, because Bling Empire is bad. Like,
but also I think sometimes trash can be like some of the Housewives shows. Right. We don't watch all of them, but like Salt Lake City, it's trash.
It's
but
unbelievable trash. It's glittery trash.
So crazy. It's good. It like you want to watch this trash.
Like right, our favorite thing to do is we take a certain scene between two people and we just usually we literally become them and we just word by word do that and reenact it.
Yeah.
And it's call it either like reality gaze theater or something like that. And we have someone who does that and it's so much fun because it's just so crazy saying it and we do better with the stuff that's just way out there because it's us just reacting to it and making fun of it and that's what this show is. You guys, this has been unbelievable. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You. Love finding new podcaster friends. You to our sissies, go out there, support them.
Not Asian.
And you guys, if you find a good top, let us know. We're always looking. Oh, the glamorous, glamorous, oh, the glamorous. Oh, the glossy, glossy. Yo, how can I get Kevin to fuck me anytime I want? I'm only gone. I want to beg for it day and night. Kevin. Oh, wow, 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 wow. 1, 2, 3.
Kevin, get in here. That's what daddy wants.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.